We are thankful to be here. It's been a journey, and we appreciate again all of your prayers each step of the way. I know some of the big hurdles that, you know, we had to get the house sold. You guys helped us pray for that. Thank you. And even before that, praying for me that I could go see my dad, allowed me to come up here real quick for a few days. And the first time we saw you, we just fell in love with you. We really did, you know, because you guys are great people and you have a praying heart, a heart after God. You got hearts of prayer, hearts of faith, and believe in God. And I believe together, all of us can move forward with Jesus. Amen. We can see a church, a strong local body right here that can be a light to the community. Amen. That's what God said. It'd be like a lighthouse. The glory of God beaming off. Hallelujah. They'll find us. Hallelujah. In the darkness. Anybody ever been in the darkness? You know, it's a time you didn't know Jesus. There's a time I didn't know Jesus. I was 9 years old and I didn't know Jesus. I thought I knew Jesus. I went to church. I thought that was the answer. If you don't go to church, you'll go to hell. I told one of my friends that, you know. But I found out God was talking to me. I was thinking in my mind, but really God was drawing me. And by the time I was, when I was around 10 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. I was trying, I think I said it, thank you, dear. I noticed I was a little nervous up there playing with my pocket. Sorry about that. Anyway, but he comes to find us. He came to find us. To rescue us. See, we think we found him, but really he's drawn the whole world to himself. He said, if I be lifted up, and he was lifted up, I'll draw all the world unto me. Many people have tried over the years, thousands of years now, you know, a couple thousand years, tried to stamp out the name of Jesus, and it hasn't worked. And it never will. He's still Lord. He's still Master. He's still King. And all of us know that we'll bow our knee now, or we're all going to bow our knee. In the future, it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That's what we're after. We're after looking for people that need Jesus. Amen. And to help them mature, help them to grow in God, help them to find their place in the body of Christ, and to see this world saved and get Jesus coming back soon. Amen. Hallelujah. We know he's coming back. But there's a little bit of a cost to that sometimes on our own flesh. But that's what it's all about. Laying down our life day by day. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit knows where we are, where we're not, the plan of God for our lives. He knows how to get us there. Amen. When I got saved, I was about 10 years old. And I remember it was a Wednesday night, and Mrs. Visser was my teacher. I'd already gotten saved. I believe I was already born again, but I didn't really understand, you know. So that's where I count, where I'm saved, because I really understood, you know, hey, something changed in my heart. And our memory verse was 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And somehow, on the inside, I just understood, hey, I'm new. I'm different. Oh, that's what it's all about. That's what being saved is all about. I'm new. I'm a new person on the inside. Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. And sometimes it takes a little while because, you know, when you're in the second grade, first or second grade, it's all about facts. It's just facts. But then somewhere in that eight, you know, you get to be 8 or 9, 10 years old in there, you start getting a little bit of analogies. You know, you can start understanding some things. I remember when we taught the second grade, see, for instance, you know, I asked them, well, we were talking about washing the disciples, you know, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Well, why did he wash their feet? Well, because they were dirty. You know, that's the main answer, because they were dirty, you know. It's not, you know, but he was also showing, you know, being a servant and so forth, you know, and we're trying to talk about being a servant, you know. And they understand the words, they remember that, but it's later on that they finally get it, you know. And so sometimes it takes us a little while. But I got born again, and I was going, in our earlier days, we went to the Christian Reformed Church, which I think there's 3 or 4 in town, from what I understand. And, I went there for a little while. But we left that church around that time when I was 9 or 10 there, and we were going to what was called a United Brethren Church, a small denomination, about 22,000. And it's kind of just, don't drink, don't smoke, and that kind of thing, but get saved for sure. And, it was really good. I thought it was good for me, but we had a really nice, I was coming up into the, you know, went into the youth group, and, you know, we talked about, you know, daily devotions and spending time with God and prayer and reading your Bible, and I'm thankful for that. But, I was about 16, almost 17, I guess, and the economy in Flint was going down. All the manufacturing plants are closing. My father had his own nursery business where we sold plants. We had our own nursery, and we also did landscaping. You know, at that time, while he was trying to ultimately have a wholesale nursery one day, we had about 10,000 potted plants in the back, plus the landscaping, and then we sold retail up front, you know, from the greenhouse. But when the economy started going down, he held on for a couple of years, but in the early 80s, around 82, he finally had to throw in the towel and find another job. I mean, it was very difficult. There was probably, you know, 500 people sometimes bidding on one job, you know, because a lot of people that got laid off the plant, they got to do something, you know, so they're all doing it and they can do it cheaper, you know, all of those things. And, we prospered greatly, you know, earlier than that, because everybody said it's, you know, a booming area. Everything's going great. You know, I mean, I would go to school and some of the kids would drive brand new cars paid for, you know, from working at the Chevy or the Ford, you know, the Chevy plant or whatever it was. And they'd work there all summer with their parents, you know, and they'd let them come in and work, and here they'd come back with a brand new car. I just amazing. I mean, here's this high school with all these new cars out there. And I'm like, wow. You know, I didn't have one because I didn't work at the plant, but I worked for my dad for $3 an hour. Although he did love me, and, you know, we worked hard, and so he sold that. We moved to Oklahoma, of all things, all places, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma City area at that time. So, and that was really interesting. I'm going to try to keep this kind of short. We don't have a whole lot of time tonight. So we moved there. My dad found a job as a foreman on a particular nursery working for a landscaping company. I worked there too after school. I'd get off about 3 and, you know, start working, work till maybe 6 or 7 when it got dark. And they were nice enough to hire me too, so that helped a lot. And then I'd do my studies. But they had we found this church and they had what we call a quiz team where we would memorize different chapters, books of the Bible. Like one year it was Romans and James, another year it was 4 books. We had Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians one year. And I had a couple of years of that anyway. And we would work on answering questions. We'd have what we call a quiz team. There'd be 2 teams, 5 people on each team. And then you jump and they had lights and everything. And it was like a competition. But yet it helped us learn the Word of God. Just, it wasn't about learning doctrine or any of those things, but just the Bible. You know, and so I would work on that. I love that. I believe it saved my life in a lot of ways, because that word became part of me. I begin to, you know, you read it so many times and you try to memorize it and think about it. You know, we had specific verses that they had for memory verses, but I would try to memorize the whole thing. I remember one day I even asked my mom if I could stay home and just work on it because we were getting ready to have a quiz meet. She let me, you know, quiz, you know, and so, but it was fun. We enjoyed it, and it was, part of it's the competition, but the most important thing that I've always tried is to say, Lord, I don't want to be somebody who just knows the Bible. I want to become a doer. And I meant that with all my heart. I didn't want it to be about knowledge and winning a quiz team. It was important to me. I like to win. You know, we had some good teams sometimes. Other times we didn't do so well. I remember one time our coach told us, hey, now if you guys do good here and we win this, we're going to lunch. We were going to lunch anyway, but we didn't know that till after, you know. He was trying to motivate us. Anyway, that was fun, but also worked, you know, in this nursery. And I worked there about a year with my dad, and my dad had an accident. He was using his own truck for the company and different things. And he was on what we call a highway. It was like two lanes on each side, a little division in between, but about 55 miles an hour. Well, that's, I don't know what that is. Your speed, maybe 80, you know, 80 or 90. So speed limit. And he broke down and pulled the truck off the side of the road. And he was on the side of the road, but he wasn't very far from the house. My little brother was with him. He was about 8 at the time. He's quite a bit younger than I am. And my dad helped him across the street, said, go down and to tell my oldest brother to come up, you know, with another vehicle with the chain. We'll tow it home real quick. Well, meanwhile, he's looking under the hood. He got back into the truck. And as soon as he got back into the truck, somebody came off the road and hit him at 55 miles an hour from behind. And it was an extended cab. Just broke the seat and hit his head back, you know, but it didn't really seriously injure him, but it did bruise his kidneys, and he had a little bit of back trouble after that. Not too serious, but enough where he couldn't do, you know, the doctor was saying not to do that. And he got a job at the El Reno prison teaching, which was awesome. You know, he really liked that job. And anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but that's just part of it. You know, we started there in Oklahoma City, and I finished high school there, and began to pray, of course, about my life. I don't know what I want to go to school. I don't know where to go to school. I don't know what to do. So I just went to a college. I decided to go to college and started, and I was trying to get in the religion department and found out I was learning all about the Bible, but I really didn't have much time left to read the Bible. So I kind of started, you know, the first semester did really good. Second semester did so-so, you know, end up with a B or C in most of my classes because I decided I'm going to read the Bible, you know. And I really, you know, was kind of confused about the Holy Spirit for a little while. I believed I've received Him. I do remember I was in a church service, and the Lord did come on me, and I didn't know what I needed. I was praying Romans 12, 1 and 2. Lord, the best I know how, I present my body a living sacrifice. I don't know what else to do. And I just stay before Him and say, Lord, whatever You want, you know. And it just seemed like I needed something else, and I didn't know what it was, but this particular Sunday night, I'm in a denominational church. I was going to the Nazarene church. And that Sunday night during the offertory, when you're not supposed to be, you know, saying anything, just giving you money. I didn't say anything, but I heard myself. I begin to shake, and my hand goes up like that, and I heard an echo off the rafters. I said, fill me with the Spirit! And, I mean, I was so embarrassed, you know, I mean, I'm shaking and everything else. My mother was like, oh, what's wrong? Oh, is he alright? You know, and everybody was trying to explain it later on. And I just heard myself say that. And my oldest brother was sitting next to me, and I said, well, didn't I yell out? He said, no, you just mumbled something. I said, what do you mean I mumbled something? Because, I mean, I heard it just like I had screamed it from the top of my lungs on the inside. I must have been on the Spirit on the inside of me. But I thought I screamed it out for all to hear. And my pastor said, well, I did see like a light come over you. You know, because I was asking him about it. Well, thank you. That was very nice. It didn't really help me a lot. But anyway, I'm getting into a lot here. So I finally realized, you know, maybe, you know, I knew I'd received the Holy Spirit, but I had said that, you know, fill me with the Spirit. And so I just begin to pray. And then after that, during my prayer time, sometimes I'd get a few words. Ooh, ah, ee, ee, ooh, ooh. I'd stop. I wonder if that's tongues. I really didn't know. I'd never heard anybody speak in tongues. I wasn't really sure. So I didn't worry about it. I just thought, well, maybe I got a few tongues. I don't know. Yeah, whatever that is, you know. And every once in a while that would happen, you know, in my prayer time and when I'm talking to the Lord or just in a quiet place, you know, sometimes in the shower or, you know, for some reason everybody seems to get something there. Singing in the shower, I was tonguing in the shower, I guess, a little bit, not much. But I wasn't doing it all the time or anything like that. But so I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm just confused. Please send me somebody. send somebody, you know, just a 30-second frustration prayer, really. And I ran into a man named Keith Runnels, because I started going out in the street witnessing for the Lord, and they had a coffee shop down there, and this man came in. They were having church during the Sunday mornings. Well, we'd just come off the street, and he came in about 11 o'clock, and he's cleaning up the place. It was probably about where all of this center section is, back to the back, you know, about that to the front. Not real wide, just about that much. And so I started helping him pick up some stuff, you know, and for some reason I just started talking to him. I said, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, some people pray in tongues, some don't, you know, just the way it is, you know. Yeah. He says, well, really? Well, give me a scripture. So I gave him the famous scripture, and I gave him a scripture out of Acts 2 first. That's as well. It said here that they spoke the word of God with boldness, you know, received the Holy Spirit. He says, well, we don't know that that's not the same people, but I'll give you that one. Give me a note. Of course, I went to the famous scripture in 1 Corinthians, which says, do all speak with tongues? He's talking about in a service. Of course not. Not everybody gives a tongue in a service, but I thought it's talking about, he said, okay, I'll give you that one. Give me a note. Of course, I'm fresh out. Couldn't think of another one, you know, and he began to just talk to me a little bit. We got to the front, and I don't remember everything he said, but it was like God was talking straight to my spirit, and I fell on the floor, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't realize I was wrong. When I'm wrong, forgive me, Father. And I spent maybe 5 minutes on there calling out to God. I realized I was wrong. And, you know, it's for anybody. I don't know how I got the revelation, but it was just there. And I got up, and he was gone. Where'd he go? And I went outside, and there they were. They're in the car. And he says, well, we're going to have all-night prayer. Do you want to come by the apartment? I said, sure, why not? You know, and so I went there, and he says, well, we're going to just start praying in tongues. And we started praying in tongues. I had a paper route at that time also. So at 3 o'clock, I knew I was going to have to go fill the paper route, because it's going to be Sunday morning. This was a Saturday night, and Sunday's a big day, you know. So it was probably a little after 11, 11:30 we started praying. I mean, somewhere around 2:30 or so, we didn't really stop, but they were still kind of praying, some of them, a couple of them. But we were talking. And all I knew how to explain it is I said, wow. I mean, they didn't ask me, you know, I didn't ask anybody to lay hands on me. They didn't, you know, I just started praying in tongues. And I didn't know I could even until then. You know? So I just did what they did. And so we prayed maybe about 3 hours, you know, and I said, all I remember is I said, I could try to explain it to someone. And I said, well, all I know is I was down here and then I was up here. You know, that's as far as I could get. That's my great explanation. But how many know it's true? Because I was being built up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I still had some doubts in my mind, to be honest. And I remember going to work that day, and I said, now, Lord, this is really you. I mean, I'm just praying. I'm praying, praying, praying. Praying in tongues all the time. While I'm going to do my route, going to do my paperwork, but in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, this is really you. Because I felt like my manager was real mean. I had a lot of hang-ups at that time. I felt like he was real mean. And I said, let him do something nice for me today. And you wouldn't believe it, but he comes up to me. He says, would you like a hat? I said, sure, I'd like a hat. Thank you, Jesus. And I really started praying then, you know. It was a sign, you know. And I know we're not supposed to fleece God, don't get me wrong. But I was young and I was learning. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And things started changing. This guy that had introduced me to it, said to me, call anytime. Just call anytime. Well, you know, maybe we can do some Bible study or something like that. And later on, I did call him. I called Brother Keith, and we had some things, and he taught a little lot about the gifts of the Spirit and different things I had no idea about, and, started kind of training me. And at that point, I, like I said, I was going to college and finishing that semester. And I don't know. I didn't want to keep doing that really, because we were learning all about the Bible, but not really learning the Word of God. And it's good. It's good to know about the Bible. I'm not saying it wasn't good, but I needed the Bible. I needed the Word of God. And now that I received the Holy Spirit, that's the number one thing that started happening. I had a lot of the Word in me, but I began to understand the Word. Anybody ever have that happen to you? Start praying in tongues, And then the understanding of the Word of God began to come, and I realized, hey, I've got an enemy. The devil's real, you know, and my Father wants me to use my authority. And the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And I began to understand, wow. And then I got, not too long after that, the same guy gave me my first Dave Roberson cassette tape. It was called Walk in the Spirit. And it was done at Bob Yandian's church. And I remember listening to that thing. And I'd listen to it. I'd stop. Write that down. I'd listen a little more. Oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down. I mean, I think I transcribed the whole thing almost. It was really funny, but I know. But I listened to the thing over and over. And so, you know, he talked about praying an hour a day. So I'd get in my little closet. I was a little smaller then. Thank God. And I'm going to be that way again. I'm serious about that. I am. Jesus' name. But I get my little closet there and I get down on my knees and I'd start praying. I'd go hard and fast for an hour. I'm telling you, I thought you had to pray hard and fast all the time, you know. But thank God I learned I can kind of just relax. God hears me, folks. Or if they don't hear me at all, as long as I'm completing that circuit. They don't even have to know I'm praying in tongues. I learned. Pray while I'm driving. Pray while I'm throwing them papers. Because after a while, you just know where the houses are. You know, and I just had a wonderful time. Play a little worship music. Praying the Holy Ghost. You know. I'm praying the plan of God out. Glory! I didn't have any idea, of course, at that time I'd ever end up in Canada. No idea. I've been through Canada, but I'm serious. I didn't have an inkling. And I mean, that may be strange, you know, but sometimes we think we know. But God knows, amen? God knew. Hallelujah. He knew. For the foundation of the world, he wrote it down in his book. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord for that. And you guys are here with me. Thank you. I'm so honored to be here. I feel it a privilege. I really do. With all my heart, I mean that. I know it's a big responsibility, and we're to feel the responsibility, but we're also to cast that responsibility to Him and trust that He's going to guide us through. He's going to bring the wisdom, teaching every one of us to do His will and His purpose for Canada. Amen. But anyway, that's how I got started. Started praying there, and later the Lord led me to a small Bible school in Oklahoma City called Faith Bible Institute. I spent a year and a half in a 1 year school there. I needed extra help, I guess. They knew I needed to stick around. No, I started in the middle of the year is why. And I think I paid them $100. And I never did pay them again. They never asked for any more money. It was unbelievable. But it was a God deal for my life then. And started learning a lot of different things about the Word of Faith. How to believe God, about revival, about prayer, and begin to move forward. And later on, you know, I married my wife not too long after that. Hallelujah. 1988, we got married, by the way, April 9th. We wanted to wait a little while. We got engaged a little before that, about a year. We dated, almost 2 years, yeah, about a year and a half, almost 2 years, because she wanted to finish her nursing, which was wise. Before taking on somebody like me. And see, what I didn't know and she didn't know is I had more strongholds than I thought. And I'm not kidding. But how many know God's bigger than your stronghold? He's bigger than you are, you know. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than your flesh. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care how hard it seems. If you'll spend time with Him, He'll teach you. He'll guide you, He'll lead you, He'll change you. My wife knows I'm not the same man that I was. Even though I mean, I was a good man. I had a great heart, you know, and loved God. And those are good things. But He wants us to change. He doesn't want us to just stay the same. He wants to have greater love. Would I say, hey, I loved God then? Yes. You love Him more now? Yes. See, God can start using you as soon as you get filled with the Holy Ghost. I had my first miracle out on the street. Never prayed for money in my life. And this guy asked me if I'd pray for him. Well, we had this Bible study. I was trying to do a Bible study at the time. I wasn't very good. I was just reading. But we decided to read the book of Joel. Hallelujah. And I said, oh man, that's right now. That's today, isn't it? It's just coming alive to me, you know, and I'm just telling them, you know, that are sitting there. It wasn't too many of us, but four or five of us. And we get excited about what the Bible was saying to Joel. Man, that's today. He's going to pour out his spirit. And he says, well, I feel like maybe God's called me to be a missionary, but I need healing. He'd have to heal me, you know. I got this thing in my back and this and that. And I just said to him, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to do anything. It was probably close to 11. We were getting ready to wrap it up. Because back then the kids and the youth and the young people would hang out along this strip and they'd go drive around, you know, what do they call it? Cruising, you know, cruise around and they'd park for a while and we'd just walk down and talk to them about the Lord. So I told him, I says, well, maybe I'll pray for you at the Bible study sometime. I wasn't no, you know, and I started walking away from him. I got maybe 5 feet from him. And I literally felt someone, I felt it. I felt someone grab my shoulders, turn me around. And I walked over to him. I've never prayed for anybody in my life, ever, for healing. First time. I placed my hands on his chest. I said, thank you, Jesus, for healing him. Thank you, Lord, for healing him. Thank you, Jesus, that he's healed. Thank you, Jesus, for healing him. I've never prayed for anybody in my life. I didn't even know that's the way you could do it. But anyway, I started thanking the Lord for it a little bit. You know, next thing I know, he's feeling around. He says, I'm healed. I'm really healed. I said, I'm really healed. I mean, he couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it for sure. No. But I could believe it because I was believing him. I really was trying to follow him. I could believe it. I said, well, that's what he does. He heals people. And so that was the first time I saw any miracle. And he was calling people. He's calling his family. God healed me. You know, this and that. And it was really amazing. And at that time, there were some things that started happening from there on. People would ask me to pray, and I just was seeing all kinds of, it seemed like everybody was getting healed, you know, and that's on me again. It's coming on me again very soon, even stronger. So get ready. Amen. Get ready. I'd get words of knowledge and people be healed, you know, and sometimes I got words of knowledge and I was supposed to pray for people, but I didn't realize that. I didn't know, you know, so I tried to go talk to them. Well, this is going on in your life and you need to get it off of you. Because I would feel their pain and all this, you know, and I'm thinking, no, that was, you know, and later on I realized that's for intercession. That was for you to pray for them, not to go pray for them right now. But I'd go pray for them anyway. And they'd cast their care, you know, just cast it over on the Lord. Come on, brother. We get it on and they'd feel free. And then they say, well, now what? I didn't know. I'm like, I don't know. Good point, you know. And so later on I realized I was supposed to pray for them and birth that through for them. And not that they didn't receive something, but sometimes, you know, we want to be complete. You know, we want them to stay cured and stay well and see the plan of God come out. So anyway, that's where I got started and that's how I got started on the street. And from there, like I said, later on, I got a job working with my dad and the Lord began to teach me some things. I found out by praying in the Holy Ghost that I had a lot of fear in my life. I didn't know that before, but it came to a head finally in the early 90s. I was set free. And to be honest with you, it was so strong, my freedom. It almost seemed like I got saved again. I mean, it was that bad. I did not realize that fear was dictating my life. I was living it and didn't even realize it until the Lord showed me. And then it took me about 2 years to beat it out of my life. I had this guy that worked with me. He was really rough. But every step, everybody says, you don't have to put up with that. I said, yes, I do, because God told me he worked there. And he led me through each and every step. I mean, this guy would just go off the handle. I mean, every month, you know, but the Holy Spirit taught me how to walk through those things with him. I remember one time we were fixing the tractor. We had a Gravely and it mowed, you know, it'd come down and we mow this acreage with it, mow some of the hedgerow and this and that. We were putting the blades back on. And I knew he was putting them on backwards. You know, and I'm talking, the Lord just telling me, just do whatever he tells you. Whatever he tells you, just do it. Hand me this wrench. Okay, hand me that. Okay. I'm helping him, you know. tighten it up. I know he's putting them on back, because I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, and then it was almost break time. The Lord said, ask me if he wants to take a break. I mean, just these little things like that. You want to take a break now? It's almost break time. Yeah, let's take a break. You know, and he got away from it and come back. Oh, yeah, we need to change those over, you know. I didn't mean, you know, I was afraid to tell him because I didn't want him to go off. I know that sounds funny, but it was real important, and I'd pray for him. Pray for him every day. And God would give us favor, and we'd have favor with the lady that was over this 18-acre acreage. And then one day the Lord told me, he went in to go talk to her, and he said, don't pray for him. Or said, don't pray for him. I said, okay. So I didn't pray. He came out. From that day on, she treated him like he didn't work there. She didn't fire him. She just treated him like he didn't work there. She just ignored him totally. And so, like any normal person, pretty soon you'd just leave, you know? And he left that job. And it was a, you know, and I thought, surely they're going to consider me to be promoted. They didn't even consider me, you know. But that was good for me. It really was. Because I had to learn, you know, promotion comes from God, not from man. It comes from the Lord. He's the only one that promotes. And they hired somebody else in that place. And that's okay, because I didn't know I was going to be leaving, you know. After a while, we worked there for a while. The Lord let us live there for about 9 months. We had everything that we owned packed up in boxes and put in their storage, not knowing that we were going to be moving later. And we lived on the premises for 9 months, rent-free, no electric. All we paid at that time was long-distance phone. Now that tells you, you know, it was before cell phone. And we were supposed to answer the phone and kind of be the kind of just there for her protection, this lady that lived there. Yeah, and Lacey would give her her B12 shot. Now, she was Christian Science, and so we were trying to find ways to minister to her. And, you know, we would just, you know, put little hints out there. And she knew. She even said one day, she came out to talk to us, I know you're big believers in God and all. And I mean, you could feel the, you know, feel the spirit behind it, you know, that she didn't believe that way. But she did have labor sent to her. I know that for sure. And hopefully, you know, with our prayers, we're believing God that before she passed, she found Jesus. So I had another guy in that same job, and he wasn't a believer in God either. You know, and I remember one day, it was a Sunday, it was my day to work. And I don't mind, you know. We didn't have a lot to do. Just got to kind of water the grass and, you know, stuff like that. And I had set the sprinkler system, all that, went to church. Came back and he's standing there. He had become in charge, of course, you know. And he's standing there. Well, where were you? I said, well, I was at church. Well, don't you know this job comes first? And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, Everett, if you want to go to hell, go ahead. I'm not going. That's what I told him. I said, there's nothing wrong with this bent grass. There's nothing wrong with this grass here. I said, it's all set up. I said, I'm here right now. I said, it's not that hot till now. I said, everything's fine. You didn't have to come running out. That was it. He didn't know what to say. Praise God, I got word. Word come back that ever gave his heart to Jesus. He's in his 60s. Getting ready to retire. He gave his heart to Jesus. Sometimes it's not always being just so kind. You know, we do need to be kind, but sometimes people need to realize there's a heaven, there's a hell. They have a choice. Anyway, hallelujah. I better wrap this up. I know it's getting late. It's Wednesday night, and I know some people got to get to work tomorrow. But that's the beginnings, and shortly after that particular job where I worked there for quite a while and had a lot of good benefits, Lisa worked just couple miles away as a nurse. We had a good time together. She'd get off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, 3 or 4, usually she'd be home, and we could walk outside, and it was like walking out to a park. I wasn't sure I really wanted to live there, because I've lived where I worked before, and it's not always what's all cracked up to be. But it was really, really nice. We'd just keep the kind of keep the curtains closed. So I could put work out when I went in the door. And, you know, it was a small 500 square foot place, but it was very nice. You know, fully furnished. So we had almost, I would say almost everything in that storage, 90, 95%. And then we'd been there about 4 months. Like I said, we lived there about 9 months, but we'd been there about 4 months and God spoke to me. And my wife, she sensed something was changing. I said, well, I'm going to fast and pray. And for some reason, I prayed about this before for about 5 years. And Lord, I just never got a witness to do it. But the Lord spoke to me that night. He said, I want you to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And in my mind, in my heart, I said, Lord, we've been around this bush. And he just didn't care about what I had to say about it. He said, now, son, I want you to listen to me. I want you to go to school tomorrow night. When you go to that meeting, that man will call you out and I want you to receive the word that he gives you and confirm what I'm telling you right now. Whoo! Now I know I'm hearing things. You know, thank God I was hearing him. Glory! So that's exactly what happened. I didn't even tell my wife. I was afraid to tell anybody. I said, all right, Lord, by great faith. I'm laughing, but I'm not. I'm serious. Because, you know, it wasn't great faith. It's just, I believe I've heard God. I knew it was pretty strong. I mean, I could mark the spot today right where it was. I put an X right on that spot, right where he said it to me. I heard it loud and clear. I had never forgotten it. And so we went to the meeting, got the word exactly. I went and talked to my pastor, had it typed out. The secretary at the church actually helped me type it out. And my pastor says, yeah, I believe that's God. And the last time I went there, you know, anything, you know, it was no, that's not God, but this was God, and I knew it was God. I didn't really care what he said per se, you know, but, you know, you want to listen to the people that are over you a little bit, you know. You want to talk to them and say, hey, you know, what do you think? And he was very kind, very well. He says, I believe that's God. I've taken you far as I know how to. I think you ought to go. Okay, you know, so we decided to leave. And packed everything up, and the next 2 years was Rhema. Well, we got there, and I went to the camp meeting, and that was in 1992. And there's this thing going around, you know, 92 is the year for you. Oh, yeah, this is my year, Lord. This is it. This is my year. And I go to the camp meeting that year, and I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm just kind of, it's a little before service, so I'm just kind of praying and thanking the Lord. This is my year. Yeah, 92 is my year, Lord. Yeah. And he says, that's not your year. You know, I'm thinking, oh God, I missed it. Did I miss it, Lord? He says, it's not your year. Then he said this. He said, this is our year. Whew. Oh, thank God, you know. Your heart never beat a skip, you know. God's good about that, though. He's good, isn't he? Anyway, that's where we got started. We went to Rhema and ended up back at the prayer center later in a couple of years. And here we are today, following the plan of God, one step at a time, one day at a time, to see him fulfill a vision, to see St. Thomas born again, on fire for Jesus, people coming in. Hallelujah. God's not just raising up the shepherds, but he's also raising up the sheep. And sometimes we think all the shepherds got to get in order. And really, where the sheep go, God, you know, the shepherds are going to have to follow too. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you create revival, I got to follow that a little bit, you know. Sometimes he can get the shepherds stirred up, hopefully, so he can get in his place and say, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, revival, I forgot about that, Lord. You know, how many know, even in the Bible, they forgot. Yeah, they were in Egypt for a long time, and finally they cried, you know, until they started crying out, God remembered his covenant. Hallelujah. But he's remembered his covenant. Amen. Now, I do believe the shepherds are rising up. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying sometimes it takes a little push. Like you guys, all of us are praying for them. Amen. Get them rising up. Amen. Prayer meetings starting up. People getting stirred up about Jesus. The glory of God coming. We're going to see it. In Philippians 1:19, I want to read that to us real quick just because every one of you, every one of us has a part to supply. So, Philippians 1:19, I'll read one scripture. I don't think I read anything. I quoted a couple of it. Philippians 1, where is that word? Okay. I'm going to read one scripture. Philippians 1:19. I'm going to do my best to bring my supply. And I hope you'll do your best. It says here in verse 19, it says, "For I know that this shall turn out to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." See, there's your prayer and a supply of the Spirit. With that prayer, you have a supply. You and I each do. And I want to bring my supply. Lisa and I want to bring our supply. But if each of you come, bring your supply. Doesn't matter where you're at in God. Maybe you don't, you know, some of the prayer meetings, maybe you feel I'm not needed. I don't groan. I don't travail. I just pray in tongues. We need you. We need your supply. The Lord needs your supply. You know, whatever it may be, or maybe there's something else. Maybe there's another gift that someone has that needs to come forward. We need your supply. And as we pray in the Holy Ghost, we find those things and we see them coming forward. We want to let God, you know, build us and mature us to the place where we can serve. You know, we all need to learn to serve without being rewarded. And that's one of the number one things that I learned in my life. Whatever we can find our hand to do, we can do it. But unto the Lord. You're not doing it unto the church. You're not doing it unto me. You're not even doing it, you know. You're not even doing it for you. You know. Sometimes, if you're there, I'm not condemning anybody. Because we all have thoughts. We all have things we're overcoming. You know. But if it's a, you know, I had to deal with it myself. Well, I know every scripture Gary shared right there. Maybe I could preach that, you know. I just, you know. You know, I wonder why they don't ask me to preach. Because I had to. So what do you mean you had to? It was something I felt God called me. I should do. That's what I should be doing, Mark, you know. But I come to the place where it doesn't matter. And what happened is I'm successful because of who I am in Christ. Because I'm a son. Because I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Him. And my fellowship with my Father is more than enough. And I'm called to preach. But if I never preach another sermon, I know that my Father loves me. And I know that me and Him are going to do great things in this earth. It wasn't about being seen. It's about knowing Him. And when we know Him, the time is right. He says, in due season, when we're faithful in due season, I will exalt you. Jesus Himself, not me. See, I don't have exaltation in me. They couldn't exalt me. No man can exalt you, but when God exalts you, no man can stop you. It wouldn't matter, you know. I mean, they can try, they can turn you down, but even if I did get it, I know my Father. I trust Him. And I know He's called me. And I know He's the one that's going to bring the wisdom. Not just to me, but to you. For your part. Amen. He's going to bring wisdom to you. And grace. But it doesn't start out there. See, I started out just serving. So anyway, we'll stop right there. And when we start like that and we allow our supply to come in, we're going to be bold for Him. Amen. We'll be strong. We'll be a strong local body that will be a light to St. Thomas and beyond. Amen.